Welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast, featuring advice and interviews about athlete branding. Learn how marketing, public relations, and broadcasting can grow your brand. We also have special episodes to talk about recent news, events, and anything in the world of sports. The podcast is sponsored by Pliable, a versatile marketing, PR, and broadcasting company that identifies opportunities and creates tailored content for its clients. Now it's time to roll. Here's your host, Greg Glenn.
Thanks, and welcome to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. In this episode, we're talking about marketing, media results, and teeing it up. Today's guest is Lewis Shank, Australia-based entrepreneur, founder of three companies, including Boost Media Agency. He has been privileged to work with over 1,000 business owners and entrepreneurs, helping them build their brand and strengthen their online presence. Now, when it comes to athletes and name, image, and likeness opportunities, many of them start an entrepreneurial journey. They start to market themselves. They start to build their presence online. So this is going to be a great conversation for athletes to hear. Lewis, welcome inside the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast.
Great. Thank you so much for having me, man. I'm really excited to dive right in.
As we get started, you know, I was thinking about everything that you do, and especially some of the work related to mindset, personal development, personal branding. And I think all of that is really going to apply here today. So I first wanted to start off with personal branding, because it's come on the scene more and more really in the past few years. And I'm curious to get your opinion about why you think more people are starting to see the value in building their own personal brand.
Yeah, good question. I think the foundation of it all is just human connection, right? Whether you're doing business with a, you know, I always like to use the example, like people would rather do business with a human being than a logo, right? If a company page with a logo reaches out to you, or someone, you know, a human reaches out to you, you have more inclination to go to the human. So I think the foundation of it is like human connection, but like how we can just connect with so many people online. People want relationships, you know, relationships are the foundation of business as well. So I think it just helps you build a relationship with, you know, your own community, wider communities. And yeah, it really helps you build trust with people.
I also think too that social media has really kind of flipped a switch for people about the potential of the influence that they really have if you want to go after it.
Correct. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you know, like we spoke about briefly, the power of TikTok, right? People who got on there early, unless you just started posting content from day one, they've now got billions of followers and like can do pretty much anything they want. And like that, what people might not understand, like the definition is that's literally they've built themselves a personal brand, right? So it's industry agnostic. You don't have to be, you could be like someone working in construction and start building your own personal brand so that when you go to start your own construction company, you already have tons of people that know you and want to do business with you, right? So no matter what people do, they can always have a brand.
Yep. And I completely agree. And we're starting to see that too, more and more, obviously, with athletes. And as the Athlete Brand Advisor, I work with a wide range of athletes to help them build their athlete brand. And one of the really best areas in my mind, or best sports, if you will, to grow a personal and athlete brand is golf. And that is one of the areas where you have certainly a lot of experience in this area as a golfer yourself, having been at Youngstown. I want to talk a little bit about your golf career. Talk to me about how invested you were as a golfer.
Yeah, so kind of goes in two stages, or let's say three. So when I was growing up as a junior golfer, like any kid, I just loved the sport to death. I could be at the golf course from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Never felt like a chore. It was always just chipping competitions with friends, putting comps, playing holes, all that great stuff. And then obviously school, year 11 and 12, you know, wanted to get good grades to, you know, succeed, quote unquote. And yeah, kind of fizzled out in terms of golf. Then had an interesting transition period where I just went traveling, didn't play any golf. And then I started school for university in Australia and just realized very, very quickly that it was not for me. And so, yeah, I had a couple of friends who were actually playing golf in junior college in the US, in New Mexico and Texas. And I was like talking to them and they sold it to me. Like, they didn't have to sell me on it. It sounded like the best thing ever. So I was like, the worst thing I could do is, you know, not try it. So long story short, went over to college. And, you know, I would honestly say then I wasn't ever trying to aspire to be pro. And it was purely, if I'm being honest, because I didn't actually realize that it was possible for me, right? I thought I had this preconceived idea from when I was young, because on the PGA Tour, right, that's the majority of golf that people see. And there's only three Australians, like, you know, playing on there at that time. And so I'm like, oh, wow, like, you really have to be, you know, in the top two or three in Australia to ever become a pro. You know, I'm never going to be in that, right? And so it was a lack of awareness about, okay, there's actually all these different tours. And so it was part of like a lack of education for me. But yeah, college was mainly just, you know, enjoying life, obviously playing golf. And I did have two college wins, which was really good. But I never had that drive to play professionally until I actually came back from college and then took another year off golf, believe it or not. And then I actually got into personal development. I was sitting at home on my bed after a day at uni, and I picked up my phone, was just scrolling Instagram, and I see a post that pops up, and it said, successful people read on average, you know, 40 or 50 books a year, right? You obviously take that quote with a grain of salt, but the lesson there is that successful people will read. And I hadn't read any books since like Harry Potter in sixth grade. And I'm like, reading, it's boring. There's nothing to do, because again, it was school that kind of made reading boring, because we're reading, you know, To Kill a Mockingbird, things that I'm not that really interested in, right? So I literally walked downstairs. My dad has this enormous bookshelf. You know, my dad's been in business for himself for a long time. And the first book that caught my eye was a book called Positivity by Barbara Fredrickson, right? And I had a tendency when I was young to be very critical and harsh with myself on the golf course, right? Hit a bad shot, you suck. Hit a good shot, you suck, right? Which you and I both know is not the best
not conducive,
to be in. Correct. And after reading this book and actually like the science and the case studies of like on the cellular level, the effect that actually positive thoughts have, my mind was blown. And from that minute, I was literally hooked on like reading and learning. So that was the start of like my personal development journey. But just applying that into golf, like there was this one, so Pennants, I'm not sure if you're familiar with Pennants, where it's like club versus club match play. So we're in like the top league in Australia for the Pennants. And I was three down with three holes to go, right? The me of the past would have been like, no chance, just give up, whatever. Me then, I was literally telling myself on repeat, like I would have said it to myself thousands of times, like I will win this match. I will win this match. Going down the 16th, make a birdie. Going down the 17th, made a clutch 6-footer for par to win that hole. Then on the last hole, my guy hit it into trouble. End up winning that hole. And the whole time I'm just saying to myself, I'm going to win. Yeah. End up winning on the second playoff hole, right? And I, to me, that was one of the most incredible feelings ever, because I just didn't give up. And I just like convinced myself I was going to win. Obviously, there's an element of luck to it too, but it just kind of shows like the power when you actually think positive, that like you're going to give yourself a far greater chance of having that desired outcome, right?
Absolutely. And I actually, coming out of the pandemic, I came up with the saying we have here in my family, which is, there are three things you control in life: your attitude, your gratitude, and your effort. And those are the three things you can control. You know, no one else has any influence over those other than yourself. And so that really kind of helped us get our way through the pandemic. But it's also something I applied to my business, you know, and and help athletes realize the same thing. And I think that mindset and the mental side of any sport is such an important piece. And I think that we're starting to see that more and more. So I'm glad you bring that story up. That's a good one. Let's talk a little bit about golfers and branding, because I recently started working with a golfer, Caleb Manuel from the University of Connecticut, has aspirations to play on the PGA Tour. And he understands the value of a personal brand through athlete branding. And I wanted to get your kind of thoughts on that, knowing that, you know, you obviously have a Boost Media agency and you've worked with entrepreneurs. You've obviously played golf. You know, thoughts on athletes and especially golfers really trying to go after this and build their brand and what it can do for them, right? I mean, really, when you think about the monetary value that it could have.
Yeah. So it's pretty much like one of the biggest things you can possibly do. So I'm not, you probably do know this, but if not, like, so the PGA Tour actually has a incentive program for the top 10 people who get the most impressions online, right? And I think the top person gets something like it's between $5 to $10 million for the season, purely for just generating impressions online, right? So that is their brand. That you'll see Bryson DeChambeau, he's hosting TikToks every day. He's doing controversial things, right? Like hitting Brooks Koepka's head off the tee shot, right? Because he knows it's going to get attention.
So exactly.
Like, yeah, as an athlete now in the world we live in, like you could quadruple the amount of money you make, right, purely from brand deals. If you can generate a million, you know, views in a video, that's worth a lot more to a company than, you know, someone who's generating none or not even posting. So having that presence and obviously like the awareness and exposure, yeah, it could pay like enormous dividends. And actually, it's funny you say that. So when I was living in Melbourne, so this is when I was really trying to play professional golf, we probably have the highest percentage of best golfers in Australia in Melbourne, between there and Queensland, I would say. And anyway, one of the guys, he was pretty decent. Like, you know, I would have said I was better than him. Not anymore, pro, but he was always on social media posting his swing. And like, you know, even I was guilty of like, you know, throwing a little bit of shade. I'm like, God, man, this guy just posts so much. Like, I'm just sick of seeing his swing. And we kind of stayed in touch. And then I went to Melbourne, I think 2 months ago now. And I caught up with him for a game of golf, and you know, we were just chatting, and he actually blew my mind with like how smart he was in terms of what he did with his brand building. Because literally every single person, I'm not even exaggerating this, would just talk crap about this guy, right? He's very good at blocking out the noise. Credit to him for that. But he just focused on building a brand. Like, he doesn't even have like any credible following or anything, but like he's very active at networking. And he deliberately will just go and network with some very high-end business people, never ask for anything, just adds them a ton of value, which is very mature. And I was very surprised that, like, you know, he even knew that. I'm like, that's something that will take people 30 years to learn. And like, you're 22, 23. And lo and behold, he's making, you know, over $2,000 a week without having to lift a finger just through these sponsorships. So you compare that to a golfer that is, you know, trying to go professional. They're grinding in the pro shop, working from 6 a.m. to like 2 p.m. and then only getting to go out and practice then. Whereas he gets up, he does a couple of PT sessions with his clients. So he does PT as well. There's like 2 sessions, he works out, and then he's at the golf course for the whole rest of the day. No other responsibilities. It's like, what a huge advantage having that backing. And that's all just from like his brand, right? So I think I actually had a conversation with 2 of my best friends who are a bit younger. I said, guys, you literally need to start doing this. Because they're like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to be able to manage to play golf. I'm like, you need to literally start doing this yesterday. Right? if Brody can do it, my other friends were like, fair, like a lot better golfers, right? They just didn't have the confidence to put themselves out there online. So I think, yeah, like you can either struggle and really have to kind of find your own way, or you can figure out ways you can build a brand and add value to, you know, other people, other brands, where they'll actually pay you. So it's a pretty simple equation there.
Yep, it is. And I think that it's only going to get more competitive. And I think that a lot of these golfers are going to start to see this. And, you know, obviously, credit to Tiger Woods. I mean, he obviously kind of really put golf on the map. But you also started to see what he did to build his brand. And that was also, in combination with everything else going on, a really powerful combination. So, and now you see every golfer, you know, trying to have their own logo. And I think that a lot of times, you know, people get caught up in logos as having a brand. And as you and I know from being in marketing and PR and branding, you know, a brand is so much more than a logo. And I think that's why it's so important to have social media as part of your brand, is because you can share who you are and your personality through that. And that, I think, adds a whole nother element that people sometimes overlook when it comes to a brand. So,
yeah, exactly. And I'm sure you'd probably agree, some people don't even actually understand like what brand is. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't even either. It was like, so one of the guys I played golf with, he's like one of the head of Titleist in Australia. And you know, he started talking to me about brand. Like, this was far before I was in this. And I was like, oh, yeah, I kind of get it. But yeah, like, I'm sure, do you come across people that don't even really understand what, like, their brand is?
Oh, absolutely. I think that there's people that don't, I think there's even people that struggle to figure out how you and I in the same world here, what the difference between marketing and public relations and advertising are. You know, like there's a bigger picture there that sometimes people can't get their arms around. So what happens when you go and you, you know, work with an athlete, especially when you think about the NCAA level, and they may not be a marketing student. They may be in pre-med. They may be in occupational therapy, you know, and they don't have the backing and the education that we have had and what we've seen of the value of marketing and PR and branding. And so it's unfamiliar territory to them. And kind of like you mentioned earlier, where there's, if there's a lack of education, then it's really hard to know what you should be doing. And so I think that absolutely there's tremendous potential. And I say this all the time to the students that are in the NCAA that are majoring in marketing or communications, even if you're minoring in marketing, get the experience to build your own brand and get compensated for it with name, image, and likeness opportunities. Like, that's an incredible opportunity that I'm trying to help athletes realize is in front of them.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more.
Yep. So let's talk about growing up. I'm curious, who were some of your favorite athletes?
That's a really good question. My girlfriend tends to call me Goldfish because of my poor memory. But in terms of golf, yeah, Tiger Woods is obviously like the idol. Adam Scott, incredible golfer as well. He's just like the kind of poster boy for Australian golf, right? He's like tall, dark, and handsome, got the prettiest golf swing, like, you know. So always like Adam Scott as well. Yeah, I mean, those two were probably like the biggest. I never really put too many people on the pedestal, to be fair.
Yeah, no, that's interesting that you say that. I also want to talk about your company. So the fact that, you know, you were obviously trying to, you know, go to school, you talked about that, you talked about mindset, you talk about kind of this transition that you made from realizing you weren't going to, you know, play on the PGA Tour, you're part of an events company, and then you started to build your own agency. Talk to me about that and what you do now. I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, the high-level summary was like I was running an events company for a couple of other guys. They wanted to sell me that business because they were starting something else. Started my own events company instead of buying theirs, which saved me hundreds of thousands of dollars. Then COVID obviously kind of wreaked havoc with events. And so I got a job in remote sales for a PR company in the US, which one of my friends organized for me. And then, yeah, that was kind of like my first exposure to the world of PR. I was like, God, like this is like so incredibly powerful. Right. Like, you know, having like the tools and strategies to be able to get someone into something like a Forbes magazine, it's like, it's that thing that everyone wants. And like, how much authority does that give? It's like on a granular level, like, you know, the biggest, I guess, things that lead society is like news and media, right? We give so much merit to what these people say. It's like when you leverage that in like a business sense as well, like, it's crazy some of like the results that can happen like instantly from like a business owner who's, you know, been going along for a few years, doing pretty decent. Then all of a sudden, bang, they're in like Entrepreneur magazine. And then everyone's like, oh my God, like this person's the real deal. So it gives them that like that real status and expert level authority where it's like, this person is the no-brainer. So it's really fun to be able to help people achieve that. Because some people like myself before I was exposed to that whole world, it was like, how's this possible? Right? Like, you know, do you just sit around, wait, and one day like they come knocking on your door? Yeah, I mean, that can happen, right?
Right,
But like you probably know as well, most of the media attention goes to like the massive companies, the huge, you know, companies raising billions of dollars in startup money. And it's always that. And like sometimes a small guy can kind of miss out. And so what we really like to focus on is like bridging that gap for the small to medium sized businesses who, you know, have incredible companies, you know, doing really awesome things, but just aren't getting any attention from the media or know even how to get their attention, right? So that's where we kind of come in, and that's our bread and butter, I would say.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. And I think that, you know, the other thing that's kind of changed in the media is, you know, there's more and more media, I feel like, that are in niches that are allowing more companies or more brands to tell their story. You know, and you don't sometimes have to land the big piece, but if you can land a few, two or three smaller ones, you know, that adds a lot of credibility. And I feel like media attention kind of sometimes snowballs. If you can get some small momentum going, and then you can start to get it bigger and bigger and bigger and add to that snowball rolling down the mountain, then all of a sudden you've got something. And it's about finding, you know, your key messages, finding what makes you unique. This is what I do with athletes. I mean, it's basically I try to find out what makes them newsworthy. And every athlete has a story, just like every business has a story. You know, how did you start? How did it work? How did you start to hire your first employee? You know, when did you realize you were going to make it big? Like all that stuff, that's a story. And you and I can tell we're storytellers. That's what we do. And that's a lot of what public relations is telling people's story. And I love doing that.
100%. It is all about story. And like, it's funny you mentioned that because it's probably unconsciously had an impact on like what I've done. So my dad actually has a company called Anecdote, right? And so obviously, you know, an anecdote is like a short story. And so they started in business storytelling over 17 years ago, right? And no one back then, actually, I've got a pile of their books sitting just there. I'll send you a copy, but different conversation. But like learning, like the first day I actually went and watched him do a keynote, I was blown away. I was like, oh my God, like, I now understand the way my dad communicates. Like he leverages story and like, yeah, it's so powerful. And I think that's kind of shifted into what I do because I always look at the client's story. Like I have people who come to me and say, hey, I really want to get into this magazine and publication. And like, we end up chatting and you know, I just politely tell them like, you know, right now it's probably not, you know, the best time because I just don't feel any stories there. Right. It's like, cool. Just another person starting a makeup brand. Like, but why? You know, what was the reason? Like one of the best ones that we did, this lady, I think she has like 7 or 8 kids and she started like a skincare brand during the pandemic because her husband lost his job. They had no money coming in. She invested literally all of her money, like pretty much down to like the last $500 she had to be able to start this business. And like, fortunately, like it paid off and now she's an incredibly successful company. It's like that stuff is like what gets people's heart warming and like really creates that emotion. So it's like, finding those things that can invoke emotion in people through their story is, yeah, those are the things that I think always hit the best.
Yep, I agree. And then obviously, you know, you do some media pitching, you're in touch with media, you know, and how do you feel? Because I know that the pandemic changed media a lot. Like that actually was one of the reasons why I started my own company was I saw that media was going to change forever. There was no doubt about it. You know, the people weren't even showing up at stories anymore. We were doing Zoom interviews, you know, it's like, right. You know, so, and it, in a way it made pitching easier. However, in a way it made pitching harder because now you're competing against anybody really for stories and everyone wanted, and everyone also had a story to tell. We all have now a pandemic story. So if you're out there and you're a business or you're an athlete, you've got a pandemic story. You know, no one sat around and said, oh, okay, I'm going to sit here for the next 2 years and then see what happens. That's not what happened to anybody. So we've all done something unique. I mean, I can tell you, I think you'll appreciate this, is basically during the pandemic, I helped my daughter learn how to ride a bike. And then we went out and we raised money for the American Lung Association in a 180-mile bike ride. You know, like,
wow, and that's incredible.
What we did. And she went from training wheels to being in a Trek. You know, like, that's an incredible feat.
That's incredible.
And there's more people that have tons of stories like that. And I just, I can't wait to tell those stories. And I'm sure you're the same way.
Yeah, 100%. Stories is like, yeah, it's the most simple form of communication. And it's just, yeah, it's incredible. The power, like, that was very heartwarming. Just hearing that, like, I was visualizing, like, myself as a dad doing that with my daughter. I was like, wow, like I felt that.
Yeah. Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. And that's, you know, it inspires me. And the other thing too, you talk about stories is, you know, I have Mission E50 through Pliable, which is the fact that I've got a 10-year-old daughter. I've seen the inequality in sports and I want to help female athletes. So I created Mission E50 that says I'm going to increase the popularity of women's sports when I do female broadcasting, you know, of women's sporting events. I'm going to put out there hashtag Mission E50. I'm going to also give opportunities to female athletes. And I'm going to always try to represent more than 50% female athletes in my company because I believe that is a brand differentiator and it's something that no one else is doing and they deserve the opportunity just as much as the men do.
Yeah, 100%. That is not only amazing, but it is an amazing separator in terms of standing out like that. Mm-hmm. Well done.
Yeah.
I respect that.
I also want to finish here with how people can get in touch with you, some of the things that you do that people should be aware of so that they can get in touch with you and maybe continue to look at working with you.
Yeah, for sure. So the best place to connect with me is on Instagram. So the handle is just Lewis Schenk, or one word. So I guess ultimately, as I kind of mentioned, we help business owners, entrepreneurs build their brand, get their name out there, share their story, ultimately reach more people and grow their business. So yeah, if you're one of those people looking for help, just reach out. We've got a ton of free resources as well. If anyone wants, how to even get themselves in the media for free, just literally reach out and we can send that over.
Yeah, that sounds great. No, I appreciate your time here today. Do you have any, as a business owner, do you have any advice, or can you think of any ways in your career, maybe, as I like to say, that you were pliable, or advice that you might want to pass along to people about what you've done in your career?
Yeah, I honestly, one of the things is just being aggressive, and not aggressive like, hey, I'm gonna hurt you, but in your activities, business, sport is hard, and just knowing that it's going to take more effort than you think to generate a result. I know the times where I've done the best is when I've been the most aggressive. So whatever you think it's going to take, 3x or 5x or 10x or whatever that may be, and that's when you really will get the results.
Yep. I'm going to close with a golf story for both of us and for our listeners here today. When I first started working with Caleb Manuel, who's the golfer from UConn, I went to his first tournament that he was doing under my representation, and I knew I had to be there, right? Because every story, you got to be there. You got to be on the scene. You know how that is. And so I literally started following around the golf course, the Yale golf course in New Haven, and I literally ran 18 holes trying to follow him, but I captured his moments. And we've talked a little bit about TikTok and the value that video brings, and I think that video is such an important part of telling someone's story. And when you see a golfer hitting the shots, making the putts, it is important so that people understand that he's doing it, other people are doing it. But if you can separate yourself by telling your story, and I think that's been a key theme here today, is tell your story, use the power of video, use the power of social media, use the power of PR, and tell your story.
Correct. 100%. I love that story. And you're spot on.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I appreciate your time, Lewis. Thanks again for coming on the podcast, and keep up the great work.
Likewise, Greg. Thanks so much for having me. I enjoyed it a lot.
Awesome. I'm Greg Glenn. I'm glad you could tune in, everybody, and stay pliable, my friends.
Thanks for listening to the Athlete Brand Advisor Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes from today's episode and catch up on recent episodes at pliablemarketing.com. We also encourage you to share topics and guest ideas by emailing our production staff at pliablemarketing@gmail.com. We love hearing from our loyal listeners and athletes who want to grow their brand. So jump in and be part of the podcast, because that's how we roll.